Deborah, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
Now, Deborah, what exactly is toxic shock syndrome?
Yeah, so toxic shock syndrome, it sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? But what it describes is when a person develops, has an infection, usually by a very common type of organism that's hanging around in the body, causing no harm normally. But what can happen is that it can just somehow, in some circumstances, grow out of control. It releases toxins, which actually work as something called superantigens, and they set off an escalating or rapidly developing immune response, which can have catastrophic results if it's not treated early.
Right. Now, what is it about tampon use that increases the risk of experiencing toxic shock?
Yeah, so the key thing is to you know, ensure that we keep it in perspective. So there were certainly some links and spikes of toxic shock syndrome associated with tampons in the 1980s. But luckily, we've moved on a long way from there, but we have to stay vigilant, as we know from the case of the model you mentioned, Lauren Wasser. But basically, what they found was that these particular type of superabsorbent tampons, which contain particular sort of synthetic materials, they could actually promote that overgrowth of those bacteria, and that could lead, in very rare cases, to toxic shock syndrome. But the good thing is that, you know, we now know a lot more about it, and all those sorts of tampons that were particularly predisposing to toxic shock syndrome, they've been removed from the market now. So we need to ensure that women who are using tampons feel confident about using tampons, know how to make tampon use as safe as possible, of course, but also not be, you know, too anxious about things, but understand what this syndrome is.
Now, you mentioned older tampons. Now, the syndrome reached epidemic proportions in the US in the year 1980, due in part to a large high-absorption tampon that was popular at the time.
That's right. That was called Rely, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Those rates began to fall when the tampon was recalled. How common is toxic shock syndrome now?
So luckily, Nathaniel, those, as you say, it did reach, you know, very large numbers, or relatively large numbers in the 80s. And luckily here in Australia, as well as the rest of the world, we've seen an absolute decline in these numbers. So it's very rare. So we do say around about less than one in a million people will get toxic shock. And it's not just women, of course, but, you know, it can also affect children. It can affect men as well. So it's not just associated with tampon use. But we have to stay vigilant to that. We do want to make sure that, you know, that people are aware of it. But luckily now the numbers are very low. We don't have those types of tampons anymore on the market. All the tampons are regulated by our regulatory body, the Therapeutic Goods Administration. So we've got, you know, we know a lot more about this syndrome now and how to prevent it, how to protect ourselves from it.
Right. Well, it's good they're making progress, especially compared to the past. Now,
absolutely.
Yeah. Now, if you're just joining us on The Daily this morning, we're joined by Medical Director of Family Planning New South Wales, Dr. Deborah Bateson, who is speaking to us about the incidence of toxic shock syndrome, a rare but dangerous side effects of sometimes tampon use. Now, all tampons sold in Australia are regulated, as you say, by the Therapeutics Goods Administration. From a medical standpoint, is there anything more that could be done to minimise any health risks related with tampon use?
Yeah, so I think it's really important that women who are choosing to use tampons, and they're obviously an excellent product, just do understand the importance of you know, not unwrapping the tampon until you actually need to use it, to obviously, you know, have thorough hand washing before it's used, and always to use just the lowest absorbency tampons possible. So I think there are some sensible things. But the other key thing is around how long a tampon can stay in for. And what we do recommend is around about 4 to 8 hours. And look, that can mean using it overnight. I know women sometimes ask that question, you know, can I use it overnight? But it must be removed at that 8-hour time frame. So we often recommend, you know, setting your phone. We didn't have these things in those olden days. But now set your phone to remove the tampon when that 8 hours is up. And certainly, you know, I do see many women, I have to say, who've actually forgotten that they'd had a tampon in place. So it's really important just to bear that in mind and use your phone as a reminder.
That's a good idea. And what is generally considered best practice, or as you say, we've talked about that, but are there any common rumours that you hear which should be dispelled?
I think really it's just around, it's being aware. I mean, we can't dismiss this tragic case, of course, of Lauren Wasser. So we do want, you know, all women to be aware that there is a very, very rare, you know, low risk, but it is, you know, it's very low indeed. It's about just those practical approaches that I've mentioned. I think there probably are, you know, whenever a terrible story like this, you know, comes to light, it does, you know, cause sometimes some alarm. So we don't want people to be alarmed. We don't want people to stop using something that's very suitable for them. But it's about keeping things in perspective. And there are other alternatives as well. So there's a menstrual cup. There's different types of things that women can use. But it's important to know that actually there has been a case associated with that as well. But again, it's not to cause alarm. Just to be practical, follow the sensible advice around the 4 to 8 hours of use.
Right. Well, that's really interesting. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today.
That's my absolute pleasure. And again, just a word to say, if anyone's got any concerns, obviously talk to your doctor, or if you're feeling unwell, it's obviously about seeking help straight away. But again, you know, very, very rare, and it's a pleasure to talk to you about this.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.